Empower Radio presents Simple Steps, Real Change with Cheryl Maloney and Kenny Brixey. You'll find inspiration, support, and simple steps to help you on the path to a better life. Simple steps lead to real change. Here are your hosts, Cheryl Maloney and Kenny Brixey.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this very special Valentine's Day show. This is Cheryl Maloney, and I'm here with Kenny Brixey, and we're going to talk about relationships today. I truly believe that we all want to be happy in our marriages or our partnerships. We came together for a reason, but sometimes as time and life moves on, we hit potholes in this road of life. Egos, life circumstances, growing families, and empty nests all bring a new level of stress to the relationship. If you find yourself there or just want to learn how to take your relationship to a whole new level, then you are in the right place tonight. Before we get going, we want to give a big thanks to Brent Carey and to our producers, Bob and Nate's with us tonight, who are making this all possible. Hey, Kenny, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good tonight. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm really excited about this show. It's kind of cool to do our first Valentine's Day show.
Yeah, it is. And we have the perfect guest for this as well. I just can't wait to get started with them. So with that, I'm not going to talk any more about it. I'm going to turn it back over to you to let you talk about them.
All right. Well, folks, we are here with two of my absolute favorite people. Marilyn Huff and Chuck Schmidt are the relationship specialists. When I first met Marilyn was this past summer after, you all know, I moved up here to Oregon. And what impressed me most about Marilyn was her love of life and her ease with whatever was going on around her. And then I met Chuck, who's both her life partner and the other half of the relationship specialist. And I saw in just this love between the two of them. And when you see them together, their energy just infuses any room that they walk into with kindness, with serenity, with joy. And I knew that if I needed someone to give me advice, this is the couple that I wanted to talk to. So we're excited to have them here. Marilyn and Chuck are both licensed therapists and coaches. They're inspirational teachers who share their knowledge and skills to inspire others to live their best life. So with that, Marilyn and Chuck, welcome to Simple Steps, Real Change.
Wow, thanks, Cheryl.
Yeah, really?
We're sitting here going patter, patter, patter with our hearts. That's a great introduction. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And you know I wouldn't say that unless I absolutely meant it. You guys have, from day one, have just impressed me. And not because you're larger than life, but because you are just part of this life and you make it joyful. So I'm so excited to have you on the show. It's kind of like a high point for me. So
you're welcome.
Well, we have lots of questions. You're welcome. Kenny, you're going to kick us off, aren't you? Because Marilyn and Chuck have so much to talk about tonight, and on Valentine's Day, we need to share the love.
Yeah. I wanted to just mention that you guys wrote an incredible article for our February newsletter about the three simple steps to build and improve your relationship. In that, you talked about listening, focusing on the positive, and taking responsibility. For the people who did not get a chance to read that, could you, Marilyn or Chuck or both, expand on that a little bit? Just kind of give us the highlights of what those three steps do for you.
Well, I'll start off, Kenny. Great. That's a great question. The first step, learning to listen, came about because most of the people that call us say, we have trouble with communication. And the number one thing you can do when you have trouble with communication in your relationship is start to listen to the other person. So that's the first one. Instead of having two speakers and no listener, you need to have a speaker and a listener. And that will help you a lot just to get that one started. The second one's focusing on the positive. So keeping your attention on the things that you love about your partner and about your marriage or your relationship and not on the things that upset you, recognizing that that's always a choice, always, always. And Chuck's going to do the third one.
And the third one is taking responsibility. We wrote for your emotions, but it's pretty much taking responsibility for yourself. One of the other really big problems that come into our office is that people blame each other all the time. And if you start to take responsibility for your thoughts and your actions and your emotions and not to put them on someone else, you start to feel better. You start to feel a little more calm. You start to feel more in control. And there's a lot of techniques to help you do that. And we'll probably get into that in a little bit.
Oh, I'm thinking we're gonna start there right away. Okay, so the first thing that comes to mind, and I see this and hear about this more than not, is people get so tied up in the emotional issues that they forget about all of those things. So what are some ideas or tricks that you can give someone when they're at that height of that emotion to focus back in on the listening, the staying positive? How do you get them back there?
Well, I think the first step is always just taking a step back and remembering what your goal is. And for most of my couples, I'll say, like, what do you want? What's the purpose of this relationship or even you coming into therapy, say? And it's usually, I want to be happy. I want to be in love again. I want to feel that deep connection with my partner that we used to have when we met. And if you can keep that in mind, sometimes the emotion and the anger that you have in the moment or the disappointment or whatever the emotion might be will kind of fade away, and then you can begin to listen to what they're saying.
We have a really good phrase, and I really don't remember where it came from. Someone else said it, but it is, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy?
Yep.
And we have found so many people that after we tell them that and work through it in a session, they go back and they come back the next week and say, it had a profound effect on me because mm-hmm. I felt I was battling to be right, but I really wanted to be happy. And so when I kind of switched my thinking on that, there was a huge change. So we use that one a lot.
Well, that, and just adding to that a little bit, the next step to that is, if you're conscious enough, if you're not so angry that you're going to spout words out of your mouth, you can stop and say, is what I'm about to say going to help my relationship or help that goal of being happy, or is it going to hurt it?
Mm,
and if it's going
point.
To hurt it, you don't say it, and you think of a different way to phrase it. So that the words that are coming out of your mouth are always going toward that goal of being happy and being in love. And that helps a lot, too, if you've got enough control to do that.
Moving along those same lines about staying happy, you know, preferring to be happy rather than right. When you work with somebody who is doing their best to stay in a positive place, but their spouse is always negative, you know, what do you recommend that they do to help maintain their positivity?
Well, I think that that's one of the reasons that we wrote the article, because a lot of people do call us and say, my partner won't come in. What do I do? And so the three things that we brought up, learning to listen, focusing on the positive, and then taking responsibility, are all things that you have under your own control that don't really need to involve anybody else. If your partner's really upset and you're feeling yourself get upset, you could take a step back and just listen to what they're saying, maybe even repeat a couple of things that they've said so that they can calm down. And then once they've calmed down, they will be able to hear you. If you're focusing on the positive and they're really, really upset, you can remember something that happened right before they got upset or any time in your past, and that will change your outlook. And then the taking responsibility, which is a really big topic, is something that is it's kind of like an advanced technique. When you start to take responsibility for yourself, your growth takes off. So all these three things you can do on your own.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that speaks so much to, we can't make another person happy. We're not responsible for their emotions, their actions, their decisions. We're only responsible for ourselves.
Right.
And do you deal a lot with people that are saying, but I want them to do this or I want them to do that? So it's like they want to get something else out of this partner and they don't feel they're going to be happy until they get that. How do you help them understand that you have to work within yourself first? Or do you?
You do have to work within yourself. And that's the hardest part for therapy, because people do come in with exactly what you just said. I want my partner to understand this. And until you kind of figure out the reason why they need to understand this, it's not going to go forward. But we can also flip that over, and there's a really good example of men saying that their women nag, and I'm not trying to offend anyone.
No, it's all right.
But what happens in that case is that they keep bringing up the same thing because they don't really feel heard. And until they feel heard, they'll keep saying the same thing. And all the man has to do is understand, oh, I've heard this a number of times. I must not be getting it. So it can go both sides.
Okay. Well, and well, if he recognizes that he's not being, that he's not hearing his partner, he can ask her to ask the question or make the statement in a different way. He can say, you know, what would you like me to, I'm hearing you say this, what would you like me to take from that explanation? What behavior would you like me to change or do? I mean, both parties could ask a question in that case. You know, what do you want? What are you asking for? I'm not clear. I think you said this, but I'm not sure how to change that into a behavior. I hear what you're asking for. I don't know how to change that into a behavior that would make you happy. What would you like me to do?
Well,
and
men,
Kenny, really need direction.
Yeah, Kenny says something like this all of the time, and I love it. Kenny, tell the Kathy story.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I'd tell the Kathy story. Give me a start.
Okay. I think you meant. I mean, because I look at Kenny and Kathy's relationship, yeah, and in 18 years, they've never had an argument because this is what he does. So.
Oh, the do you mean? Yeah. It's a very simple game. It's when she tells me something. First of all, I know that what she has to tell me is very important in her mind, and it may affect me in a different way, but I know that it's important to her. So I make a point, you know, this is where the awareness thing has come into play. I just simply ask her, do you mean, and I put it into my own words. I want to make sure that we're on the same page. And what that does, it gives her the control back to tell me, yes, that's exactly what I mean, or no, this is actually where it differs. And we can play this game back and forth. We don't always say, do you mean, but it's just reaffirming what we are saying to each other to be sure that we're on the same page and understand. From that
that's
point,
perfect.
It never goes to argument. It just goes to an agreement about
clarification.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's excellent, and that's exactly like what I heard you say is, because then she knows that you're listening, and she also is looking for a response from you to clarify if she needs to.
Exactly.
And that really ties right into the listening part that we were talking about in the beginning, and now I'll tell the Chuck story.
Oh, yeah.
Marilyn and I met 23 years ago in graduate school, and then the first year out of school, we got together, and we were very strong personalities, so we butted heads a lot. And I'm going to admit that when I got upset, I would tend to just leave and go cool off and walk around the block, but I didn't really realize that that was upsetting her, so she finally asked me not to leave. So I agreed to that, and one night it was pouring rain, and we had some type of argument, and I knew I couldn't leave, so I just stood in front of the window looking out at the rain with my arms folded, and I was like a mountain. I was not moving. I was solid as a rock. And she came up to me, and she put her hand on my shoulder, and she repeated back to me what she heard me say. And for a fraction of a second, I was furious because I knew she was using a technique on me. And then all of a sudden, I burst out in laughter. And it was from that point on that we realized that some of the things that we learned in school really worked.
That's great.
You know, the fact that you've lived what you teach, because you're both very positive people. And to hear you say, you know, we may be the relationship specialists, but we're normal people. We're human. We go through these things. Here's how we deal with them.
Oh, of course.
Because you're using them. It's not just what you're teaching. It's you use them yourself, and then you can teach them to others. Yeah. I think that's absolutely cool. Yeah. So for anyone that's sitting out there going, okay, it's Valentine's Day night, and we're on opposite ends of the house because we're not talking to each other, what do you say to them to try and help them to break that tension?
Well, I would say focus on what you love about your partner. Just start recalling some of those wonderful feelings that you had when you met, when you were in love, the last time you went on a date. Just think about all the things you love about them and let that energy build in the room until you're smiling and laughing and feeling all that love, and then start again. Because Chuck and I actually, we're trying this the last couple of weeks because we've had a lot of people come in that aren't too happy, and that happens around Valentine's Day. You know, people are sad their marriage isn't what they want it to be or their relationship, and they come in and talk about it because they want to be happier. And we told them, start looking at everything you love about your partner for the next week. Just every time you get a chance, what did they do today? What about their looks do you love? Whatever it is for you. And think about that constantly. Don't think about anything they do that you don't like. Just focus away from it. Put it away. And we were trying that the last week and a half. And even us, we were like, whoa, I just love you so much more today. You know, we got just even happier because the whole stream of consciousness, the whole focus that we had was on how much we loved each other and not any of the little things that happen every day that you might get upset about. And that really does work.
And Cheryl, in answer to that question again, even before you start to focus on how much you love the other person, you have to ask yourself, what do I want? And if you want to be right, then you're accepting responsibility for staying in that mood. But if you want to be happy, if you want to be loving, then you can start what Marilyn was just talking about. So ask yourself the question first, what do I want?
Good point.
Mm-hmm. Wow, what? That's just incredible. I'm sitting here going, you know, and these are all such simple things, but we get caught up in emotions. And we forget.
We get caught up in the power play.
Yes. Well, you know, there's often so many misinterpretations. I was thinking about this with a client. Somebody said, you know, her husband said to her, I'm thinking it'd be fun to go out for, instead of going out for a romantic dinner on Tuesday night, I'd really like to stay home. And she got furious because she interpreted what he said as, I don't want to go out to dinner with you, which she also interpreted as, I don't want to spend money on you. And then she made the meaning that he doesn't really care about me. He doesn't love me. I'm not important to him. And we find often that people will hear something, they'll interpret it, and then what gets them so upset is the meaning that they put on that. And if you could stop and back up just a minute and clarify, like Kenny said, so what was it? How did you word it?
Do you mean?
Yeah, do you mean?
Simple, yeah, simple, do you mean, yeah.
Yeah, do you mean? It would have been done. Would have been absolutely done.
And Cheryl, you were saying it sounds really simple, and I have personally told a lot of clients that this is going to possibly not be easy for both of you because you're going to have to do work on yourself, but everything you're going to learn is simple. So it's not easy, but it's very simple. It's personal growth.
Yes.
Well, and that's music to my ears because we say that all the time. We may be simple steps. There's nothing in that word. There's nothing in there that interprets that as being easy because some things are very hard. And I think that the longer that you go and you stay in this place of wanting to be right, as opposed to, like you say, wanting to be happy, if you've been that way or you've been almost in a competitive situation for so long, it's going to be really hard to break out of that. But if you truly want to keep this marriage or the partnership intact or grow it, even better, grow it, make it better, it's going to take hard work.
Right.
It's kind of like, you know, trying to lose weight after you've been heavy for a long period of time. I know I do that all the time. It's like, okay, I've been this way for a long time. I can't expect it to go away tomorrow. It took me a lot of eating to get here.
Both Cheryl, you mentioned competitive, and Kenny, you mentioned power, and I remember there's many different theories of relationships and how they grow, but the simplest one that I know of is that we go through the falling in love stage, and then we come out, that's the first stage, and we come out into more of a realistic stage, and in that realistic stage, there's a huge part of it that's competition. It's jockeying for position, jockeying for power, and the third stage is what some people call mature love or adult love. Now, some people can get out of that competitive stage right away. They're unusual. Some people can get out of that competitive stage as they grow, and some people never do. And so the power struggle is when you bring that up to somebody and they finally realize, oh, we're just struggling to see who's going to come out on top instead of cooperating with each other, that's another aha moment that they have. And that's one of the things that we try to achieve with them, too.
Hmm.
I'm just curious, do you find, and this is kind of a little sideways jog here, but do you find as you're dealing with clients that maybe get into that power stage, that second phase of it, that if someone is still actively working in a job, do they tend to be more competitive if they're still employed? Because I'm sitting here remembering my corporate days, and, you know, it was always a got to do the best, whatever the case may be. And I tended to bring that home, and that was not a really good thing to do. Does that happen often with people that are still working?
You know, I've never thought about that, but I know that a lot of the clients we have, the husbands are high-powered engineer-type people, and they talk about how the husband will treat them more, well, the same as they treat coworkers at work. And it's such a competitive environment that they tend to feel like it's a competition at home. And they point that out a lot. It's a good point. I'd never actually thought about that. But you're probably right, because at home, if you're working at a home-based business, you're usually a little bit more relaxed, even though you're working probably harder because, you know, it's your responsibility. The competition isn't there with the next person in the next cubicle, you know, and you don't have a boss over your head saying, you must earn this many dollars for the company or whatever, do this many tasks. So it actually makes sense, Cheryl.
How do you suggest somebody diffuse that if their spouse is bringing home that kind of attitude?
Honey, I love you to pieces, and I'm so proud of you for being such a great provider. And at home, I'd like to change the focus to us being lovers and friends.
Oh, you're good.
Jokes. You've got to make things light, I think.
Uh-huh. Yes, I agree.
You know, I learned, and I think that I know, All right, let me try this again. One of the greatest phrases that I've ever heard about dealing with stress in a marriage is to say, honey, you're my best friend. I love you. I don't want us to fight. How can we work on this together?
Oh, I love that.
That's, you know, I think I'm channeling you, Marilyn, actually, when I think about it. That's pretty much what, that was my first thought is, okay, how do we get to that point? All right, let's just diffuse it. But what I love about the two of you is you have so much fun. And, you know, you see people at stress all the time. And I think you focus on keeping things light as much as you possibly can within yourselves, because you're dealing with some pretty difficult situations with your clients. Isn't it a little hard to pull away from what your clients are going through? That was kind of off topic. But
Mm-hmm. It's a question we get a lot. If you're dealing with stress all the time, don't you take it home? And Marilyn and I always go back to the story about being in graduate school, and out of everyone that was in our class, we were the only people that wanted to do relationships. And they said, how can you be in a room with two people that are fighting? And we both said, well, we're there to help them. They're the ones that are doing the work. We're just kind of the mediator, coordinator, teacher. And that's the way we work in our office. What happened, we do intensives, and that's anywhere between a four-hour block to maybe a weekend. And the last intensive we did, we had so much fun with the couple that was going through some pretty heavy turmoil that they said, should you be paying us?
You guys are getting paid for this?
Yes. We do enjoy what we love what we do.
And we do. I mean, it is serious. You're right. I mean, people, I often have to remind myself that people come in or they're in a lot of pain, because my natural instinct is to turn it to a lighter situation. But I think sometimes you also want relief within all the pain that you're in to see a light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, this kind of brings up a question that I want to ask about. How if the husband, for instance, comes home with this horrible attitude and is just in a foul mood, but it's not directed at the spouse, how does the spouse protect herself? How does she not start taking that on?
Or himself.
Well, yeah, or himself,
right.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good question, Kenny. And I've learned that skill very well with Chuck, because he used to be really stressed about things, and I would take it personally. Mm-hmm. And I think you really have to get happy within yourself, whatever that means. I mean, if you need to meditate or take walks or exercise, you need to find a center within yourself as the partner, so that when you see them, you can be loving and ask them if they need anything. Honey, it looks like you're really stressed. Do you want me to get you a glass of water or whatever beverage they might want? Or can I rub your shoulders? Or do you need a little time to relax before we start dinner? Whatever it is, you have to stay centered in yourself so that you can be nice to them and not take it personally.
Oh, it's what a great idea. Well, we're actually coming down. I'm hearing music playing. We're getting ready to go to break at the moment. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about, you know, what couples are starting to grow apart and how do you deal with situations when they're kind of going two different directions and want to keep the marriage together. So we're off to break. We'll see you in a few minutes.
Okay.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Trouble on Rock Hill.
Ain't nothing like running up and down Rock Hill.
Hey, let's move this rock.
Whoa! Sassy, Johnny's stuck under that rock. Yeah, girl, go tell Mr. Gunderson to bring his truck. You'll tell him, but only after you dispel a stereotype associated with shelter pets? People think shelter pets come with lots of initial veterinary costs?
It's dusty under here.
But in reality, most shelter pets have been vaccinated, neutered, and microchipped in case they get lost.
My pants ripped.
Sassy, Johnny needs help. What Johnny really needs is more discipline and better parental supervision. You use big words, Sassy.
Still under the rock.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
At one second, I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it?
Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the Lost Cat Magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
And now, back to Simple Steps, Real Change, with Cheryl Maloney and Kenny Brixey on Empower Radio.
Welcome back on this wonderful Valentine's evening, and we want to just welcome our guest, Marilyn and Chuck, who are the ultimate experts on relationships, as far as I'm concerned. I'm having a blast talking to you guys. Everything we've talked about up until now has required a bit of awareness on the participants' parts. Do you guys have a suggestion on how somebody who's listening and can't come to see you two, how can they start building their own awareness to start working with some of these issues?
Building awareness is, I would say, the crux of any relationship problem. If you don't have awareness that something is going on, or if you don't have an awareness of an emotion coming up, there's nothing you can do. So, for instance, one of the things that I do with clients is I say, when you have an emotion come up, do you usually feel it in your stomach or in your heart? And they will go, one of the two. And if it's in the stomach, I will say, well, that's more of a survival issue. You feel that the relationship is in jeopardy. Pay attention to that. Allow your awareness to go to that. If you allow your awareness to go to that without any kind of judgment, it will dissipate and you will be able to move forward. If it's in your heart, it's a love question. You're not feeling love. You might not feel that the relationship is in jeopardy, but somehow the love is broken right there. And again, if you put your attention on whatever's going on in your body, that is growing awareness. That's growing awareness of your emotions, and as you pay attention to them, they will diminish and you can move forward. So that's one of the ways that we could do it. Do you have another one, Marilyn?
Well, I was thinking, I think, Kenny, you mentioned something about if people weren't coming into therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And so yeah. I would say a couple of the things they could do, I mean, they could go to a website. I mean, Cheryl's Simple Steps are great because it's leading you in a positive direction. We've got tips that you can work on your relationship with. Even the little article that we wrote for Cheryl's newsletter, for your newsletter, had the three things that you could start working on, and it told how. Because I think Chuck's right. I think it is awareness. So once you say, well, what is the issue? I don't feel like my husband listens to me. Great. Then how can I work on that? Well, I can start listening to him. I can ask him to ask me the question, what I'm hearing you say this, is that correct? I can't keep forgetting the way you worded it. That was so perfect. There's so many things you can do alone in just doing a little bit of research on your own, going to a website about relationships or tips for helping me or whatever without going to a therapist.
I'm sure Kenny has some tips on his side,
too. I'm sure he does.
A few.
Yeah. A few.
Yeah.
Well, and as we're talking through that one, as you've got people that are out there and like Kenny said, someone that maybe doesn't feel like they can get into counseling or get into therapy, and mm-hmm. but they're sitting there going, okay, my relationship seems to be going two different directions. I'm going one way, my spouse is going the other, we still have the kids, we meet there, but I feel like we're growing apart. Mm-hmm. What's your advice on how they work to growing back together, if that's truly what they're trying to do? What advice do you give them?
Yeah, I think the first step is actually the last thing you said. Do we want to? Let's sit down and talk about where we're going, what we're seeing, and what we both need now. I think relationships are kind of a constant negotiation, not in a business way, but sitting down periodically, at least every 6 months or so, and seeing what the other person's desires are at that moment. Are you getting your needs met? What else could I do that would make you happy? Are you happy? What can you do to make me happy? I mean, keep re-talking about each of those things, because relationships grow and change as we grow and change. They shouldn't be static, or they'd be pretty boring. So I'm growing, I'm changing, this is my new direction. How can you fit? Or do you want to? You know, if I'm going over here to become an artist in an artist colony and you're going to go live on a mountaintop, are those mutually exclusive, or can we make those work together?
And then like finding an artist colony on the top of a mountaintop.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and take that to the extreme. What if someone has decided that's it? I'm done. The relationship's over. Do you have any advice to them on how to do that? How would you talk to somebody that comes to you and says that?
Do you want to take that, or do you want me to?
Sure. Okay. Sometimes people do come in the first session, they say, one of the partners says, I didn't want to do this at home, I didn't feel safe, but I really want it to be over. And after the person gets over the shock, and the shock is determined by however long it takes, and it's individual. Mm-hmm. Some people will take, I've seen one person get over it in a day, and people are still going years or decades later not being over it. But as soon as they've come to the realization that it's over, then ask the question, can we be friends to go through this? Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's too much hurt, the answer would be no. But for the most part, I'd say it's a much higher percentage that, yes, we can. How do we do that? And then I would suggest each person, on their own time, make a list of things that they would like. So I would like to not fight, and if we're going to fight about a certain thing or the divorce, can we take some space? I would like a parenting schedule like this, and you want it like this. Can we both go away and then come back again and see if we can find a middle ground? There's negotiation involved. But if the answer is no to being a friend, that's between a rock and a hard place. That's just really hard to do. So I would first see how you can maintain the friendship.
Or it doesn't even need to be friends as much as keeping that end goal, I would like this separation or divorce to be amicable. Do you agree with that? Just that simple, basic thing. Yes, I do. Okay, how do we accomplish that? And then go about the same steps that Chuck was just saying. You know, how are we going to separate things? What are we going to do with the kids? What about a parenting plan? What about holidays? What about family members? Because that's one of the biggest things people talk about when they're separating is, can I still see your family? And can you see mine? How's that going to work?
Yeah, who gets the friends?
Yeah, who gets the friends?
Oh my goodness.
I mean, it's hard.
I guess
that's
who gets the kids
thing.
In a lot of cases, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Much harder than stuff.
And, you know, that's something, quite frankly, until you said that, I wouldn't have even thought about. I would have thought about, you know, the children and making sure that that was. But when you take it out to friends and family.
Yeah.
Beyond that. So what do you find when you've got a couple that are not in a really good place? Let's just say, for example, it just went south. So someone was blindsided or, you know, the marriage just literally has blown up and they're going to their separate corners. Mm-hmm. Do you find couples coming to work with you on how to diffuse that? Or are you normally just seeing one or the other who just says, I need out of this. He's or she's in a very different place and they're very angry. How do you advise that person to help get through this?
Well, usually they come in together for the first session, and the person that we focus on and we let them know this is the one that's got their foot out the door.
Okay.
Right? Because the other person normally wants the marriage or the relationship to work. The other person's like, I'm done. I'm done. I'm not putting up with this anymore if they're mad. Or, you know what? I just can't do it anymore. I'm not getting my needs met. They're not angry. They're usually numb is what they are. They've gone so far up the scale of, there's anger, and then there's resentment, and then there's numb. And when you reach numb, you're like, you don't care. No matter what the other person would do, it doesn't pull you back in. And so we'll start working with that person. How are you feeling? How did you get there? What do you think it would take to bring you back into the marriage, if anything? Because sometimes they really don't know. And then I usually do, what do you think it would be like being separated or divorced? Because sometimes people aren't basing those thoughts on reality, especially if they're younger. It's like, well, I just want to go out and date again and play and go to the bar. And you're like, really? Well, what do you think it'll really be like? You know, how are you going to pay the rent? And how are you going to, you know? And when they start to think about all those things, their marriage all of a sudden doesn't look so bad anymore. You know?
It's almost like they want a break, but they think that it's like having this fantasy image about what it's going to be like married.
That's right.
You can have the same fantasy image about what it's going to be like divorced, and those aren't realities.
Absolutely. That's exactly right.
Wow. So when you've got a couple that comes in, do you ever find yourself saying, these two people shouldn't stay together?
In the 20 years that I've been doing it, it's only happened to me once.
It's happening
really?
To me right now.
You know, because I think that's true. You know, we hear a lot about divorce these days. Obviously, it's something that happens more than not. And there are some people that just made a mistake getting into the marriage. And that happens. You learn from the mistakes and hopefully you grow from them and you're not buried by them. But it just seems like if people could get into counseling before they got married, and maybe that's another question. Do you see couples coming to you before they get married to develop before they jump in?
Well, let me back up for a second and answer
okay.
the first question. That,
sorry.
No, it's okay because they're both kind of tied together. I forgot the first question. I got so excited about the second one. I'll answer the premarital one then.
Okay.
When people come in for premarital counseling, they are the smartest people we've ever seen. They're, and sometimes they're pretty young, and they just thought of it on their own. Sometimes their parents sent them in. Sometimes they're an older couple whose previous marriage failed, and this is their second marriage. But they really want to work. And one of the ways to kind of work with them on that level is to go through just a different list of categories to see, oh, let's say, how do you split your money? How do you do child rearing? How do you handle family holidays? And just go through there and see where they're at. And then when there's disagreement, that's when you teach them the skills on how to do compromise and cooperation. So those people are really smart. And I have said for a very long time that they should teach relationship skills in junior high, because that's when people start forming their relationships. And once they've started, it's kind of ingrained, and they get it from their parents, or they didn't like what their parents did, and so they just go the reverse. But it's formed at a very early age, and I'm really appreciative of people that come in to learn skills like that.
You know, I've been married 33 years. Back then, if you were getting married in a church, you had to take premarital counseling before they'd allow you to get married in a church. So that seems to have kind of fallen by the wayside. But what you're saying is here are people that are maybe younger, generally younger or like second marriages, that are saying, I want to give this the best shot I possibly can. Oh, that would be a cool session to have. Because you're working with really positive people. That's kind of refreshing compared to people that are coming in with problems.
Yes, very.
Okay.
And it's powerful. Just to back up what Chuck's saying here, I'm gonna use my life as an example because it's worked. It's proved itself on the 16th. What is that? Like 2 days from now?
Yeah.
Will be 18 years that
Woo-hoo!
We've been married.
Whoa! Yay!
We went. Yeah, it's not the 33, but 18 without an argument. I'll go for that.
You know, okay, but, I can't say that. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not trying to rub that in.
We were
fortunate, we were very fortunate, and I know that this is why our marriage has turned out the way it is. But we went through, it wasn't counseling so much, but we went through a couple seminar within the first 6 months of us getting married. And it taught us some really great tools. Since then, I have gone back as a teacher for that. You know, and it's, I think we talked about it a little bit before. It's just very, very powerful. It teaches you the tools like we talked about in the first half, how to communicate, how to love again. And, it's just awesome.
Yeah, it's wonderful when people will do that. And it's rare. I find it to be very rare. I think we've had a handful of people in premarital in the 20-something years we've been doing this. They just don't do it. They wait till they have a problem, which is very sad. We've had other people come in after 10 or 20, even 20 years once. Someone came in, a couple, that were so distraught and thought their marriage was over. We taught them the most basic communication skills, and they came back the next week on cloud nine. Cloud nine. In fact, the man, I remember, he was like in his, I think, 40s. And he said, we have a new game that we play. When I really want to talk to her and have her listen to me, I put my big ears on. And that's an indication that we're supposed to listen, you know. And they were so cute, and they were just thrilled.
What a cool thing to be able to do. And it's got to make you feel good when you see folks that literally take what you've suggested to them, working through it, take it, use it. Because how many people come in and just say, okay, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to listen, but it's her responsibility or it's his responsibility.
Right.
I'm not doing it.
You know, that's one of the greatest things that all those people that went to our graduate school didn't get to learn, when they thought it was so hard to do couples counseling. Couples counseling is so much fun because you actually get to teach people skills and you see the improvement week by week by week. And they get so excited that they can be happy, you know, that it's such a great reward. That's why we're always happy.
You guys are a good influence, and I can speak to that one personally.
Yeah.
So
I love your energy. Yeah.
Don't Now you know why I wanted to have Marilyn and Chuck on the show.
I'm glad you did.
We are so glad, and this has to be one of many, you guys, because I just am thrilled to death you're here. Let me ask you another question. I want to take this a little bit differently. Is when you're dealing with couples and their issues are literally parenting, because they each have different opinions about how to raise the child or how to raise children, and you know they're in the middle of a child going sideways or just growing up because they do. What are the first things that you focus on when parents are having problems with, you know, dealing with their children?
A lot of times we will get calls and people will say, can we bring our family in because things are out of control? And our first response is, why don't you two come in first?
Mm-hmm.
Because, first of all, children are very smart. They know that if they split the parents, they can have whatever they want. And second of all, if the parents are on the same page, it's very hard for a child to split the parents. So people get their parenting skills. Most people don't take courses. They get them from how they were raised. And everybody comes from a completely different family because that's who we are, individuals. So they bring their own biases into the relationship. The first step they have to do once they, well, it would be better if they did it before they hit problems, but once they hit problems, they have to say, okay, this is what I would like. And the other person comes back and says, this is what I would like. And for example, I want, you know, Jennifer to be able to go out and go with her friends to a party and come home at midnight because that's what her friends can do. And the dad's going, no, a girl needs to be home at 10:30. And so they negotiate and they get on the same page first, and then they invite Jennifer in and they tell her together what her thing is and what the consequences are. So being on the same page first is very important. And the only way they can do that is by exploring what they brought to the relationship.
Wow, that's just fabulous advice. It's just like mom and dad go talk first.
Yep.
Then
absolutely.
Come back and talk to the child.
Yep.
Oh, interesting. Do you find that as you're talking to couples that have come in that have children, are there issues? Well, and maybe that's an unfair question. How many of the issues really surround raising children, or is it that the parents are still dealing with how to be a couple in the marriage, even after they've had children? That probably sounds like a funky question, but let me get a background here. So many folks that I run into jump into a marriage, start having children, and they've not really gotten to know each other really well yet. So then it comes to raising children, and they're discovering they're not on the same page with very much at all.
That's true. And I'm going to speak to the male point of view. A lot of times when a woman gets pregnant, she becomes a different person, and the guy's going, where did the person I marry go to? And so he feels totally left out. We run into that a lot, where the guy's saying, we used to go out and party, and now my wife just wants to stay home and watch TV, and they're in their early 20s. They never discussed that. They never talked about that. That would be another great thing for education.
Right. Plus, all her attention is going to the babies. That's pretty natural. I mean, you get pregnant, you have a baby, and most women are nursing for at least 6 months, and your attention is going to the child, so you do need to get back to you as a couple. I remember when I had my first child, our doctor was so smart. He was an older gentleman, and the first thing he said to me is, this child came into your life in order for him to lead, to be happy. You two need to be happy and live your life and let him come second. And it kind of is counterintuitive, like you really want the baby to be first, but you really need to keep your relationship strong, because it'll do your kid no good if you two end up separating or getting divorced, you know, because all your attention went to your baby.
Well, and, you know, I think that's a great message, because it's not in any way saying you don't take care of your child. It's like have to focus on your marriage, your relationship, and keep that strong. And the baby's part of that. But if you take your eye off that ball, then you can get into all of these other. Oh, he was a pretty smart doctor, wasn't he?
And one of the things that we use in that one example when we're trying to get that across to people is, have you ever taken an airplane trip? And when they're giving the demonstration and they say the oxygen masks are going to come down, they say put it on yourself first and then your child, because if you put it on your child first, you'll be gone. Take care of the relationship first, and then if you're both on the same page, your kids will thrive.
I wonder how many parents are sitting out there now going, okay, that makes sense.
Because one would only hope.
Yeah. Well, because they're just truly simple things that you get so caught up into something you don't think about until it's that aha moment. And maybe that aha moment doesn't come until it's a little later than what you would have preferred. So, all right, now I know. Now I can do this differently. Well, then sometimes what's happening is, as I'm looking at this, is you've got the parents now that have gotten onto the same page, but maybe the children have been going their own sideways direction for a long time. Now you've got to reel that child back in. So all of a sudden, what mom and dad have been doing all along is different. And it's almost like setting a boundary or setting, here's an expectation, but the kid's been playing against that for so long. Mm-hmm. How do you help them just persevere with their positions now that they're on the same page?
There's two parts of that. One is, how old is the child? Once they get to be in their later teens, it's going to be much harder because they're getting on their own. If they're younger, though, a child's job is to push boundaries, to see where they are. When they're little, they can go in their backyard, and then when they go to school, they can go a couple blocks away, and then when they get older, they can go a few miles away to a friend. They keep expanding their boundaries, and that's what they do to parents. They always want to see how far they can go, and it's the parents' job to set reasonable boundaries. If they're young and you're coming back to the same page, they're going to yell and kick and scream if you try to set new boundaries, but if you're on the same page, it will eventually wear them down. You're two adults against one little person. If they're older, it's a little bit harder. If they're older, they can say, I don't want to play.
Well, you know, also when I have my parents talk to kids, I usually try to include the children in the conversation. So that if you're going to make new rules, you're going to sit your kids down and have a family meeting and say, you know, in the past we've done X, and we've decided it would be more fun, or we've noticed that we're not having much fun, that there's a lot of fighting going on. And so we'd like to change things. How would you feel about, or give me three suggestions on ways that we could do X, Y, Z? And then so you've got three suggestions, really, and they're picking one. So here's three ways that we could get ready for bed at night. And you give them the three ways, and you say, which one would you like to try first? So that you're not letting them go out and have their own ideas. You're more letting them choose an idea from the ones that would already be acceptable to you, but they feel like they're part of it because they had a say in it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure does. Well, guys, we're about to close the show here. Before we do, I would love to hear one tool that you would like to offer up to people to help enhance and grow their relationship, since this is Valentine's Day. And just whatever you think that one little simple tool they can do on their own would be.
I would say laugh and have fun together. It's really easy to get caught up in the business of being together. You know, the everyday buying groceries, cleaning house, taking care of kids. But you got together because you made each other happy. You know, you have joy. You found joy. So make time every day to laugh, play together, give compliments, joke, enjoy life.
Fabulous. Chuck, what about you?
Oh, I couldn't agree more. One of the ways that we deal with disagreements here is humor.
Yeah,
and we've gotten really good at humor, and we get really good at the funny, uplifting kind of humor and not the sarcastic kind. And so I think humor is the best tool to deal with upsets.
That's great. Cheryl, how about you?
You know, the other thing that I would say that kind of goes on to this is to respect the fact that in the marriage, you both came together. So it's got to be about, to me, keeping respect, being respectful, even if you disagree, is to understand and just show a little respect to each other. Because when you get into the name calling and everything else, you've lost that, and you've lost the reason you've come together.
Absolutely.
And Kenny, we're down to a minute till we close. So what's yours?
Mine is very, very quick. It's 15 minutes per week of silence. Sometimes it's in a candlelit room, looking into each other's eyes.
Wow. Love that.
We find some really, really incredible connections that way, even if we're not trying.
Oh, so, I just love it.
Well, so, Chuck and Marilyn, before we get out of here, would love to know, how do people get in touch with you?
There's basically two places, our website or our Facebook page. The website is relationshipspecialists, that's plural, .com, and Facebook is facebook.com/therelationshipspecialists. Again, it's plural with the in front. And our website is going to give articles and information on our services. Facebook, we just finished 14 days of Valentine's Day tips, so we're going to continue those tips. On either site, you can sign up for our newsletter. We also have an iPhone app called Love Advice, where we just have a database full of answers that people can get. Cool. So these are our ways.
Very fabulous. Cool. Well, thank you both, everyone. Have a wonderful Valentine's Day, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye, Cheryl. Bye, Kenny.
Bye.